Argument in Chambers versus the Idaho Board of Pharmacy, docket number 48657. Here on behalf of the appellant, we have Bernadette Bentgen. Here on behalf of the respondent, we have Alexandra Breschers. I guess if we're all ready to go, Ms. Bentgen, are you prepared to go forward?
I am. Thank you, Your Honor. If it pleases the court, this issue appears that I contend that the definition of good cause in a discretionary setting requires that prejudice be shown to the opposing party, in this case, the agency, Board of Pharmacy, and the board and the agency itself. I think basically this gets down to a question of fundamental fairness. There's two distinct points that I'd like to make. This wasn't a request for attorney's fees. Attorney's fees were mandatory under the statute, and this was an invoice basically giving the hours that were worked and the total of the attorney's fees requested. The board was notified in the beginning when the complaint was originally answered that we would be requesting attorney's fees. At the time of the hearing, the board denied the request for attorney's fees, but was told by counsel that the law was amended by the legislature, I believe in 2018, that the prevailing party, in this case, the petitioner, was given mandatory attorney's fees. So this isn't a question of the board not being aware that attorney's fees were being awarded in this case. When the board presented the order, they included a notice of procedural rights, which failed to give a date certain for the filing of the invoice for attorney's fees. I believe, and also the order was silent as to the date certain for the attorney's fees to be presented. Unbeknownst to me, in reading the notice of procedure, which was attached to the order, they point out that there was 14 days for a motion to reconsider, and then 28 days for an appeal. Given the fact that they were silent specifically as to the date they needed the attorney's fees invoice, I reasonably assumed it would be after the 28 days. I have quite a few health issues, and given the fact that the order was silent, I put this on the back burner, and I described that in my declarations. I feel it was reasonable. I feel that if they wanted a date certain, they should have included that in the order. I also feel like they still have not addressed the issue, nor have the rules been changed since the statute was amended by the legislature. So there's nothing in the rules dealing with mandatory attorney's fees and the exact process that should be used. I feel that the Attorney General's office should have amended the rules, given the fact that the attorney fees were mandatory and not discretionary at this point. The other thing that I feel is misleading is the case law on this, although this is probably a case of first impression by the court, especially since the amendment to the statute. I don't feel that the respondent has been given the correct legal standard of review. I believe that good cause includes a showing of prejudice to the other side. In this instance, there is no prejudice to the board. In fact, it's actually a benefit to not have to pay the fees for now going on almost 2 years, I guess it would be. I think that's required in a determination of good faith. And because of that, because the board did not even discuss prejudice and just looked at my health issues, I feel that the correct standard of review was not given either by either the board or by the district court. Also, they mischaracterized my medical condition. I was unaware, but was feeling horrible after this initial hearing was determined. And I've been diagnosed with bullous pemphigoid, which is a very rare autoimmune disease. And given my condition that I've had a stem cell transplant, it gets into the issue of graft versus host disease. And the diagnosis took a while, actually, to even figure out if I was having a graft versus host problem or was it something different. I feel that the legislature has made it clear that attorney's fees should be granted in situations like this. And the reason for the change in the legislation was the difference in power of an agency compared to an individual licensee. In this case, the agency has contracted with the with the Attorney General's office, and the licensee must go out and hire an attorney to present their case. Given all of that, and the fact that I think good cause requires, and I would like the court to elaborate on this in their ruling if they don't feel it's required, that the standard of review would include a showing of good cause, including any prejudice that the respondent would incur because of the attorney's fees being ruled in favor of the petitioner. And I'll stop there.
Counsel, I have a question for you.
Oh.
Would you agree that if we use the date on the certificate of service of the order denying the request for attorney's fees, that your appeal was not, your petition for judicial review was not timely?
No. Explain, because there was a problem with the initial memorandum and order from which order are you referring to? The original order?
On your petition for judicial review, you attached some documents in which you asserted that the date on the certificate of service was incorrect.
Oh, yes, it was incorrect.
So
if we
use the date on the certificate of service, would you agree that your petition for judicial review was untimely?
No, I wouldn't, because the certificate of service doesn't even have the right document saying that they served it. So there actually isn't a corrected certificate of service.
But if we use the date on the certificate of service, would you agree that your petition for judicial review is untimely?
If your question is, if the date on that certificate, although it's an error and incorrect, yes, I suppose it would be, but I haven't addressed that question because respondent and I went back and forth on that date, and the certificate of service, there really isn't a certificate of service for that order because it doesn't say that that's what they served. So hypothetically, I guess it would be, but the certificate has numerous errors in it.
So if I'm understanding your argument, Ms. Benton, it's because that certificate of service says notice of hearing rather than final order, that it is not the certificate of service for the final order to which it is attached. Is that?
That's my understanding of procedure, that it needs to, that isn't a correct certificate of service. And I did send emails back and forth, and I don't think it was mailed that day. I never received it. It was by email that I received it. So that's the date I calendared. But it, you know, there's a couple corrections on it. It's got the wrong document and it's got the wrong date. And I have proof of when I received it by email.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Any further questions from the panel? All right. Thank you, Ms. Benton. Ms. Breschers?
Thank you, and may it please the court. I am Allie Breschers from the Attorney General's Office for the State Board of Pharmacy. Your Honors, this is a case about a missed deadline. Chambers was awarded attorney's fees subject to a 14-day request deadline in accordance with IDAPA Rule 741. However, Chambers counsel failed to file for more than 6 months after the deadline. Pursuant to Rule 741, if the deadline is missed as it was here, the board had the discretion to grant an untimely request for good cause shown. Chambers failed to show good cause for the extreme delay and the board denied the request. And though Chambers argues that a consideration of prejudice is required under the 741 good cause analysis, there is no such requirement in the text. Appellant seeks to insert an additional requirement that does not appear in the plain language of that rule. The Idaho Supreme Court in Samus stated that a consideration of prejudice is irrelevant to the good cause language of a similar rule. Though Chambers cites the Samus stating that an analysis of prejudice is required, it's not the holding of the case. The Samus court simply applied the text of each rule. And though Chambers attempts to state that Rule of Civil Procedure 36B is discretionary, similar to the rule at issue here, 741, and thus an analysis of prejudice is required because all discretionary rules require prejudice. This is the opposite of the Samus holding, which states the good cause language, while relevant to a determination of whether to dismiss a claim for a violation of Rule 4AB, does not appear in Rule 36B. The two standards are not interchangeable, and nowhere in the text of the rule or in case law is an analysis of prejudice required. And with that, the good cause and prejudice analyses aren't compatible. The good cause requirement indicates that the default would be to deny fees unless good cause is shown by one side. Whereas provisions that allow something unless prejudice is shown has the opposite presumption and seeks to change the burden of proof. And as prejudice is not relevant to the good cause standard under the Samus case, the board did apply the correct standard under their good cause analysis. Under that analysis, the board considered all the evidence presented to it to explain the missed deadline and the 6 month delay after that. The evidence in the record includes information that counsel admitted the filing was untimely. Appellant's counsel also indicated that she failed to read the rule cited in the order, and when she did, she misread the rule. She admitted it was a mistake and just simply didn't calendar it. There's also information that she's a sole practitioner without assistance and had other work during this time period. And though there was provided non-specific information about an ongoing health condition and the fatigue associated, the severity of which was not provided through questions by the board as well as testimony that was given at that hearing. And frankly, she stated she didn't think it was going to be an issue to request late past the deadline. And though additional health information has been provided to this court in the briefing, it was not provided to the board and should not be considered because they didn't have that available to them. So in focusing on the facts and circumstances from the underlying board order to the missed deadline 14 days later, or between May of 2018 and December of 2018, the board did not find that good cause existed. Well, there was information provided to the board from 2006 to 2017, it's the wrong time period. There's no indication that the health condition was sudden, as was required under case law that defines this, or there's a worsening of a condition or other barrier. It's just general statements about ongoing fatigue without any indication as to the severity of which that could be a wide spectrum. To explain this deadline missed by 6 months, nor has this court found ignorance of procedural requirements to be good cause, especially for parties represented by counsel. And in fact, in Medrano, the court stated that granting an untimely request for fees without documentation or a reason to explain the delay was good cause or was an abuse of discretion because there was no good cause or explanation for the delay. And so the evidence and lack thereof presented in the record shows that Chambers did not meet the burden of showing good cause to explain the delay. There are some arguments not properly before this court in the reply brief, including the argument that the verified answer to the underlying complaint, which was submitted prior to the board hearing or award, indicated a request for fees, but this argument wasn't made anywhere below, nor was the supplemental health information in the briefing properly before this court, because it also was not presented below. The board argues that the order was consistent with the statutory provisions within the authority granted, made through a lawful procedure, supported by substantial evidence in the record, and was not arbitrary, capricious, or an abuse of discretion, as the correct standard in the text was applied. As such, the district court should be affirmed per the standard under Idaho Code Section 67-5279-3. If there are no questions.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Brashears.
Thank you. We would ask that the court affirm the district court's decision dismissing the petition for review.
Thank you. Ms. Benkin, any rebuttal?
Yes. I believe that the respondent mischaracterizes Samus, and I would like the court to review that case carefully. What the Samus court case does, and the respondent has mischaracterized in their reply, is that the discretion and prejudice dealt with the fact that the moving party were pro se. That's not where the analogy that I am using is in the case. The analogy is in response to the motion to withdraw the deemed admissions. And the language in that rule was discretionary, where the language in the rule that was cited by counsel was mandatory. When you review the rule specific to this case, it's both discretionary and mandatory. The other issue I'd like to bring up is administrative law is a quasi-judicial proceeding. So mandatory deadlines are frowned upon, that you need to look at the entire circumstances of this case. And unbeknownst to me, and I'm not sure how you can deny this, but I was suffering from an autoimmune disease that they could not diagnose. And there is my testimony under oath that I had extreme fatigue, that a stem cell transplant does a number on you, and that leukemia, I still am being treated for leukemia. I get tested at that time, I believe it was quarterly. Then it went to 6 months and now it's annually. But graft-versus-host disease is always something that can crop up. And with graft-versus-host, for me, it was in my liver with the skin condition, which actually affected everything in my body and still hasn't completely cleared up, and I'm still receiving treatment for it. It's a very taxing condition. I disagree that prejudice doesn't have to be shown with good cause. And I believe that courts have ruled when good cause does need to be shown, including prejudice, is when there's a discretionary decision by either the court or the Administrative Procedure Act. I've searched, and there is no clear definition of good cause in the Idaho Administrative Procedure Act. But I believe case law has shown concerning attorney's fees that you look at the totality of the circumstances. As far as testimony at the hearing, we were interrupted because there was an issue with the microphone. It was held over telephone. And I asked the board if it had any questions concerning my medical history or what I was suffering, and they did not respond or ask any questions about that. The only question they asked was whether prejudice was relevant, and they were instructed by their counsel it was not. This is a situation that, with the change in the rule that mandatory attorney's fees be awarded to the prevailing party, I think that the court would be missing the point on the fact that there would be no prejudice to the board for paying the attorney's fees at a later date than 14 days. And if that was the issue, why didn't they include that in their notice of procedural rights? It's as if they were trying to mislead, to be very frank about it. Everything else is spelled out specifically with specific dates. And although it does say in the rule, it reverts back to 14 days. 14 days is the minimum. If they wanted the invoice before that, why not put it in the order and make it very clear on the date? I think that that's abuse of discretion on their part.
Counsel?
Yes.
In your view of the analysis, would there ever be prejudice?
Would there be prejudice to the board? Is that your question?
Yeah, in your view of what the analysis should be, would there ever be prejudice? I mean, it
for
sounds
the board
like
the question
is that if attorney's fees are allowed, then the board would never be prejudiced by an untimely request. Am I misunderstanding your position on that?
If the attorney fees are mandatory, I believe that the board would not be prejudiced in the request being filed more than 14 days after the fact.
So why would there ever need to be a prejudice analysis if your position is that there's never prejudice to the board for having to pay the fees?
Because that's part of the standard of review. And if the board can't prove that there is prejudice, I think that rule, then the rule should be that the untimely filing should be allowed. It's discretionary. I think the prejudice here is to the petitioner, but to argue that because there never would be prejudice, therefore you don't need to consider it, I don't agree with that analogy.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
I don't see any other questions from the panel, Ms. Benkin. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The court appreciates the briefing and arguments in this case. The case is now fully submitted, and we will issue an opinion in due course. Court will be in recess until 1:30 this afternoon.